Gospel of John, chapter 6. Beginning at verse number 5, John chapter 6. As we remember today also the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King, who in his messages talked of times that would come like this that we are experiencing now, that the strides that we made, it looks like Trump is trying to undo those and divide us again as a nation. John chapter 6, verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples of them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he saith unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Amen. I want to reason with us today from the thought, use what you got.
Yes, sir.
Use what you got. These series of verses picture a scene that is absolutely impossible in the eyes of man. But to God, it's merely an opportunity to display his awesome power. That's just like God. He waits until our situation is dire. He waits until it looks hopeless. He waits until we've spent our last dollar, called on our last friend, prayed our longest prayer, shed briny tears, and it is in the midst of that mess that he shows up and displays his awesome power. I'm already talking to somebody in here this morning. They are out in a desert place. A desert is known for what it does not have rather than what it does have. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and healing all day long. He has gone to try and get away from the crowd to get some rest, but the multitudes are still following him. Matthew says they are like sheep having no shepherd. Yeah. Jesus has compassion on them. He asked one of his disciples, where may we buy bread that all of these may eat? Philip, who was asked the question, says, we have 200 denarii. 8 months' wages, but that's not enough to feed such a large crowd. Jesus asked the question not for information, because he's about to give some instruction. And God never asks us for anything or for any information. Whatever he asks is always on the precipice of giving us some instructions, for he already knows everything beforehand. The text says he's saying this to test Philip because he already knows what he's going to do. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, comes and says, Lord, we have a lad here that has a lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what is this? It's not enough. What is 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? Jesus says, make them sit down. Now, the situation they were in was overwhelming, but Jesus recognized the overwhelming situation. Jesus knew that what they had was not enough. Brothers and sisters, believe me when I say this, Jesus knows that what you have is never enough. So you have no excuse to come before the Lord saying, I don't have enough. He knows already that you don't have enough. And it will never be enough as long as it's in your hands. Let me say that again. It will never be enough as long as it's in your hands. You will never have enough until you transfer it out of your hands into the Lord's hands. I wish I had a witness in here today. I need somebody here who has been down to your last dime, and the Lord stepped in on time. Wish I had two or three witnesses. You wasn't born rich. You wasn't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You had to make it the best way you could, but here you are now on the other side of that situation, testifying, not bragging, testifying that can't nobody do me like Jesus. Do I have a witness in here today? Wish I had a witness that can say nobody can take you from nothing and do something with it like Jesus can. Can't he do it? Can't the Lord take what you have and make it enough? The recognition of the situation doesn't change until Jesus gets involved. He moves us from the recognition of the situation to the fact is. Do y'all hear what I said? From the recognition of the situation to the fact is they are out in the desert. There's nowhere to buy bread. And if there was somewhere to buy bread, they don't have enough money to feed the multitude. Understand there are crowds of people, 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Now can I try to with a little turn of theology, get us in the ballpark of possibly how many people were there? Again, it's just my theology. But I believe it'll make sense. There are 5,000 men. And in that day, almost every man had a wife. Amen. They didn't do a whole lot of shacking back then. Almost every man had a wife. And so if you've got 5,000 men and you've got 5,000 wives, that's 10,000 folk. And if each one of them had at least two children, amen, that's 20,000 people. So there are perhaps 20,000 people that are there. That there is not nearly enough, and Jesus knows it. So he asks, where can we get some bread so we can feed these people? In Mark's gospel, the disciples want to send them away. Jesus says, you feed them. That says we only have 200 denaro. That's not enough. He says, let them know that it's some stuff you can't handle. He says, feed them. They say, we don't have but 200 denaro. He says, I know what you have. You need to understand there's some stuff you can't handle by yourself. It's too big for you. It's too much for you. It's driving you crazy. It's tearing you up. It's tearing up your marriage. You're losing sleep, losing weight, about to lose your mind. It's too big for you. And many times Jesus will let us see that it's too big for you, but it's just right for him. And I've discovered that when it's too big for me, it's just right for him. Look at how the disciples want to handle the situation. Everybody knows that the situation is overwhelming, but the flesh says, get rid of the problem. Send them away. The flesh says, raise some more money. All we have is 200 denaro. That's not enough. We need a stewardship campaign. We need to call a meeting, organize a committee. Baptist folk are good at organizing committees. We meet, greet, and eat. We meet, greet, and eat. The problem never gets solved because we don't want to solve the problem. We just meet, greet, and eat. The poor are still hungry. The naked still have no clothes. People are still outdoors. We are still meeting and eating. Nothing ever gets resolved. The disciples say we have a little, but that's not enough. That's what a lack of faith does. It don't give you anything because you have a little. That's like folks saying, I don't tithe because I can't afford to. The fact is you can't afford not to. That's why you don't have a little bit, because you're not willing to give God what he asked for. Don't look at what you have, but thank God for what you have left. I wish I could get somebody here to shout on what you have left. Is there anybody here that can say, Pastor, after I paid everything I could pay, after I paid my tithes, it ain't much left. But Pastor, right about here, I'm going to praise God for what I got left. Do I have any folk in here today can thank God for what you have left? You ain't got much, but you thank God for what you have left. I'm going to name a few things. I mean, if it fits you, give God some praise for it. I got just enough gas to get me through the week. I got just enough money left to get me to my next payday. I got just enough food left until they put the money on my food stamp card. That didn't get you. Well, Pastor, I got just enough God in me to keep me from slapping the hell out of somebody. Thank God I've got just enough. Is there anybody here can thank God for what you have left? I don't have no overflow. I'm not living in the overflow, but I thank God. You ought to high five three people and tell them I ain't shouting over what I have. I'm shouting about what I have left. Oh, come on, tell somebody, thank God for what I have left. I ain't got a whole lot, but thank God. I got $2, thank you. I got some rice and beans, thank you. I got a fourth of a tank of a gas, thank you. I got bus fare, thank you. Is there anybody can thank God for what you have left? Little always becomes much when you put it in the hands of the master. As long as it's in your hands, it's never enough. But I dare you to put it in the master's hand. Anybody ever gave it to the Lord? Anybody ever asked the Lord to step into your situation that was too much for you, but you turned around and gave it to the Lord, and you discovered that the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever think or ask. Take it out of your hands and put it in the Lord's hand. The situation was overwhelmingly. Secondly, the supplies were insufficient. The supplies were insufficient. In the text, all they could find was a lad with a lunch, a boy with 5 barley loaves, and 2 small fish. That's the size of the supplies. A boy with some barley biscuits and 2 sardines. Now, being a boy, when he left home, he might have had 10 biscuits and 6 fish. But church held so long that he started snacking like a whole lot of y'all do on Sunday morning. And by the time Jesus got it, it was just 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's the size of the supply. The size of the gift, but it's never the size of the gift that's matter. It's always the size of the heart of the giver. Did y'all hear what I said? Because the boy did not have to give up his lunch. You know, we always talk about Jesus and what he did. That's great. But listen, the boy didn't have to give up his lunch. Andrew found him, and Andrew asked him for his lunch, but he could have said, no, I'm not going to give it to you. And listen, I would have hated for it to have been some Mount Moriah members. And they ask us for it. I can see some of y'all with your attitude saying that you must be crazy. You should have brought your own lunch. This here is my lunch. I brought it, and I'm going to eat it. You better find somebody else. This here is mine. You're not going to get it. You're not going to have my lunch. But when the boy found out Jesus wanted it, oh, I wish I had a witness in here. Listen, it's one thing if I ask you for it, but if Jesus asks you for it, you ought to be willing to give it to him. Is there anybody here today willing to give to God everything that you have, that nothing is off limits to the Lord, that child that's going astray, give it to Jesus. That husband, that wife won't act right, give them over to Jesus. Whatever your problem is, I dare you to give it to Jesus. Whatever you have, Jesus has need of it. And if you give it freely, he'll bless you and bless that little bit. Members see the choir need help. Won't give it. See, usher board number one needs some help. You got good feet. Your legs work well. You know how to direct traffic. But you won't help. Church need cleaning. You say it ain't my job. But whatever you have to offer the kingdom, you ought to offer it freely. It does not say they had to beg the boy for the lunch. They simply asked him, and he gave it freely. Why is it we got to beg folk? I think it's because folk want to feel needed. And they think if I'm so important, if they don't beg me to do it, it's not going to get done. If I quit the usher board, it's not going to be an usher board. If I quit the choir, they're going to just shut the whole choir down. No, you're lying to yourself. If you won't do it, God's always got a ram in the bush. And somebody's going to be willing to do it. And the fact is, they're going to do a better job than you ever thought about doing because they've got the right attitude. So whatever you have, you ought to give it to the Lord. It ain't gotta be a whole lot. Somebody had just enough strength to make it here this morning. You've been tired, you've been working, you've been struggling, you've been going through, talking about me now, but you ask God to give you just a little strength to make it here this morning. And since you are here now, I dare you to do the best you can with what you have and freely praise God with the little bit that you have, because when praises go up, oh, come on. When I'm talking about real, authentic praise. When praises go up, blessings will come down. Anybody here been blessed? Anybody here been blessed all week long? Then you ought to praise the Lord. Let everything, I'm talking to everybody in here today, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Anybody got breath in your body today? You ought to give God some praise. God woke you up this morning, started you on your way. You ought to give God some praise. All right. Let me cut across the field and bid y'all good morning. It's never the size of the gift. It's always the heart of the giver. Let me explain that. Some of you do what you do for recognition. You are uniquely gifted. But what you're doing, you don't have the heart for it. God has blessed you with unique talents. And you think you can hold folk hostage because you've got the talent. Listen, God will take a less talented person and still get the job done. Do I have a witness in here today? That God can use anybody that's willing to be used. You remember when they were looking for a king and all of Jesse's boys came trotting out in front of Nathan and all of them were bigger and stronger than David. But he said, that's not the one. But when David walked out, he said, that's the one. And some of you in here think you're all of that in a bag of chips. Jesus said, I've got somebody else that can do the job. When you got a little bit with a big heart, God will bless your life. God will take care of you. Yes, he will. I said, God will take care of you. Won't he do it? Is there anybody here? You may not have the best of everything, may not live in the best house, drive the best car, but God takes care of you. Thirdly and finally, we're going to shout and go home so we can watch the NFC and AFC playoff game. The situation was overwhelming. The supplies were inadequate. But thirdly and finally, the surplus was abundant. It's in the text. Andrew says, Lord, all we have is a lad with a lunch. If the lad had kept his lunch, the supplies would have remained insufficient. But when he gave it to Jesus, the insufficient supplies became an abundant surplus. Because in the boy's hand, it's just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But in Jesus' hands, it's a banquet for 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Watch what happened. The faltering was sanctified. The famished were satisfied. The faithless were stupefied. Let me explain. The disciples could not understand how a little lunch could feed so many. But when Jesus got it in his hand, their faltering faith got sanctified. Listen, when the Lord does something for you, come to church and talk about it. And that will sanctify the hearts of others who might be going through the same thing you're going through. Somebody who God has taken care of, you ought to tell somebody God will take care of you. Oh, come on, I need somebody that knows God will take care of you. Can you encourage your neighbor? Say, neighbor, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. But I've got good news based on my own experience. God will. I didn't say I will. God will. I want to take care of you. I think I'm in the wrong house. I said, won't it take care of you? Has it taken care of anybody here today? Has anybody tried him? Won't he do it? Somebody in here today. You got a little bit. But God is stretching that little check. And God is stretching that little money. God is giving you strength. And you ought to tell somebody through every day along the way. God will. God will. Take care of you. Through every day. The faltering was sanctified. The families were satisfied following Jesus. You don't always know how things are going to turn out. And I need some faith walkers. Following Jesus does not mean you won't get breast or prostate cancer. Following Jesus doesn't mean that you won't lose a child. Following Jesus doesn't mean your son won't get strung out on drugs or go to prison. Following Jesus does not mean that every day is going to be a good day. Somebody can help me here when I say following Jesus, it gets stormy sometimes. Oh, come on. It gets rough sometimes. You can't always see where God is taking you. You can't always understand what's happening in your life. But if you will keep your hand in the Lord's hand, if you keep on coming to church, if you keep on believing, and listen, I don't care what happens in my life, I'm going to show up at church. Y'all hear what I said? I don't care what I'm going through. I'm going to get here on Sunday morning. I'm going to worship the Lord. And sometimes I don't have a praise report. Sometimes I just worship him for being God. Listen. Everybody ain't got nothing to praise him for. But we all got something to worship him for. Do I have a witness in here today? Anybody worship God for just being God all by himself? And if you keep on worshiping God, because praise comes after worship, if you keep on worshiping God, after a while, he'll give you something to praise him for. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil, so much so that my cup Y'all think you're talking about money, but listen, sometimes it's his spirit. It's his spirit. Listen, so much so that my cup, right about now, it's right on the brim. It's about to spill over. So much so that my cup runneth over. Anybody here feel some running over today? That the spirit of the Lord is in this place. The spirit of the Lord is in my temple. It's running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He's able to take a little bit and do a whole lot with it. Is anybody here brought God your little problems? Anybody brought him your little drama? Brought him your little frustration that God took care of it? And when you look back at it, you can say now that if it had not been, if it had not been, not because of the doctor, not because of the lawyer, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Why don't you take your neighbor by the hand and tell them, I don't look like what I've been through? Oh, come on, I need some folk that have really been through something. Come on, come on, come on. I need some real folk. That was the wrong neighbor. Turn to your other neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't look like what I've been through. Oh, come on, turn to somebody behind you. Say, neighbor, I don't look like. Been through the storm and rain, but I made it. Had some heartaches and pain, but I made it. Thank God. Had some good days and some bad days. But all of my good days, I'll weigh my bad days. So I'm not going to complain. I'm going to thank God. They lied on me. They talked about me behind my back. Scandalized my name. But I don't look like what I've been through. Why, Reverend? Because the Lord is keeping me. Did y'all hear what I said? The Lord is keeping me. If the Lord opened doors for you, you ought to help me praise his name. If the Lord took your little bit and made much out of it, you ought to help me magnify his name. If the Lord's been good to you and you're not ashamed, why don't you grab somebody and tell them, do the best you can with the little bit that you have. Now, listen. This time I need y'all to preach it to them like I'm preaching it to you. Grab somebody by the hand. Look them in the eye. Preach it just like I'm preaching. Tell them, take the little bit that you have and give it to the Lord. Oh, come on, you're not saying it like I'm saying it. Tell them, say, take a little bit that you have and give it to the Lord. Take it out of your hand and put it in the master's hand. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? I don't plan to close today, but won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't the Lord take care of you? Won't the Lord open door for you? Won't the Lord dry your tears? The Lord will make a way. If you know he will, why don't you stand on your feet? If you know that the Lord will, why don't you wave your hand? If you know that the Lord will, you ought to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the Lord sure will. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Glory! Glory! Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Use what you got. I don't care how small it is. If you take it out of your hand and put it in the Lord's hand, the Lord can take a little bit and do a whole lot with it. Come on, I need some honest folk in here today that when you met the Lord, it wasn't much to you. Come on, come on. It wasn't a whole lot to you. You were living any kind of way. And listen, you're not all of that and a bag of chips, but how many can thank God I'm not what I used to be? Oh, come on. I need some real folk in here today that can look back over your life and see how the Lord has changed your life. Took a nobody, made you somebody. Anybody willing to tell everybody about somebody that can save? Y'all didn't hear me. That can save anybody. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come? Would you come? Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, I don't know what I would do, but if I had wings of a morning dove, y'all know what I do, fly away. Oh, my troubles would be over with, and I'd be at rest. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, I don't know what I would do, but if I had wings of a morning dove, y'all know what I'd do, fly away. Oh, my troubles would be over with, be at rest. Lord, you brought me, yeah, from a mighty long way. Hey, hey, you washed over me, Jesus. Not just one day, but every day. And if I had wings of a morning dove, I'd fly away. Oh, yes, I would. Lord, you brought me. Yeah, you brought me from a mighty long wing. Washed over me, Jesus. Not just one day, but every day. And if I had wings, you get sick of this trouble down here sometime, of a morning dove, fly away. Oh, yes, I would. But since I can't, you know what I tell him? Thank you, Lord. Come on, I need somebody got something to thank him for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but listen. You've been so good. Has it been good to you? Oh, you've been so good. Well, I didn't even deserve it. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. All of us ought to shout off of this. You saved my soul. When I was too mean to live, wasn't fit to die, you know what you did? You saved my soul. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, you saved my soul. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord.